The reality is this. We have moments too, don't we, where we think God never showed up. Let's think about that. And if we were to be honest, each one of us have probably had those moments or those thoughts like, God, you didn't show up in my moment. Where were you? You said you'd be there and you never showed up. And so we have that tension of trusting him and having faith in him, having experienced those God moments, but in this moment, whatever it is for you, and for some of us, it's a job, like, God, I'm looking for a job, and you're not showing up, and I need that moment from you, and we find ourselves thinking, God's just passed us by. Like, what about me? And I want to talk about that today as we kind of focus in on this first Sunday of Advent. Over the next number of Sundays, we're going to be talking about a number of things. Today, we're going to talk about the miracle of the moment, that Jesus comes into our life at just the right time. I'm going to be saying that over and over again today. Then we'll be talking about next week the miracle of the method. That is, he uses people just like you and just like me, unlikely people, all of us, to carry out his message. And that's what our next week is, the miracle of the message, that he's entrusted this good news to us. And then he's called us into action. Every follower of Jesus is called into action. That is to share the miracle of the message that Jesus has come. And then on Sunday, December 22nd, we're going to be talking about the miracle of his birth. And we're all going to be joining together on that day. And the kids will be with us and the students will be with us as well. But you got your Bibles. Let's get ready to follow the star. Matthew chapter 2. Check it out.
In the dark of night, spectrums of light and color explode, and out of the radiance emerges a new star. Traveling through space toward Earth, passing through clouds, the star rests over a small barn, illuminating witnesses to the birth of a child. Miles away, the glimmer of this star guides three wise travelers to the completion of their journey. The story of Christmas marks the destination where our weary souls can find rest. This Christmas, follow the star.
And so that's what we're going to be doing throughout this whole series. You have your Bible, Matthew chapter 2. Let's go there, shall we? Matthew chapter 2, if you have YouVersion, your smartphone, or your tablet, and we say, look, bring those things. Don't leave them at home, and launch YouVersion Live, and you'll find all the notes and the scriptures in YouVersion Live. If you're here and you don't have a Bible in the lobby, you're going to find a rack of Bibles. You don't have to ask for one. You don't have to fill anything out. Just grab it and take it. Gateway's giving away hundreds of Bibles. Literally, now I think we're at somewhere around 700. And that's just one of the joys of spending your money. So that's what we do. So if you don't have a Bible, grab a Bible and take it with you. If you're a growth group leader, someone in your group doesn't have a Bible, be sure to get one and give it to them. Matthew chapter 2, also coming up on the screen, beginning with verse number 1. Here it is. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Just kind of remember that for a moment. Then they opened their gifts, or their treasure chests, and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. We're going to learn some really important things about this particular passage of Scripture. You see, as you read that, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and you read about the wise men or the magi or the kings, and you read about the star, there's a lot of debate that goes on about the wise men, who they were, where they were from, and there's a lot of debate about the star. I mean, common legend about the wise men says that there were three of them from different lands, different nations, and one writer calls them three kings. Now, you know that there are three wise men because in your nativity scene, how many do you have? Do you have three? Some of you lost them, right? So here's the deal. The Bible doesn't really tell us how many wise men there are. And there's debate about that. The Bible doesn't really tell us exactly how many wise men there were. I mean, we say there are three because of why? There were three gifts. Exactly. So we put up three wise men in our nativity scenes. Look, if you lost one, it's okay. You know, mess someone up and just add two more to your nativity scene. They're going to come. You got five wise men. Yeah, it's true because like the Bible really doesn't tell us the exact number of wise men. They were magi or magicians. And then this discussion and debate around the star, you know, like was it a cosmic event that happened? Was it an angel that led them? There's different thoughts and depending on where you read, but it's not about the wise men. And it's not about the stars. Not really what you believe about the star. In fact, I believe it was a literal star. The Greek there is aster, and 24 times it's used. And in this context, it talks about a literal star. So I think we're okay to believe the star actually led them. But it's not about the wise men, and it's not about the star. You know what it's about? Jesus, only Jesus. And it's about what happened when they came in and they saw the baby with his mother. What did they do? They bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they gave him gifts. I think that's the most important thing they did. Now, I think if all of us were honest, we sometimes mess that up, don't we? It becomes all about the gifts. It becomes all about the giving of gifts and the receiving. And we love that, don't we? And I like that too. I love that too. And I love, you know, the decorations and all of that stuff. And, you know, we've decorated our house because my wife insists it starts the moment after turkey is done. So we drag out all the Christmas things and all the stuff, and we decorate. And I love all that. I really, really do. But it's not about the decorations, and it's not about the gifts. It's not about the giving, and it's not about the receiving. It's about Jesus, only Jesus. And the wise men first bowed down and worshiped him. And in that moment, they recognized who he was. And they worshiped him. Then they gave him the gifts. I want to talk about the moment for a moment. Think about the moment. Think about Jesus who came and who's coming again. In fact, turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 is coming up on the screen as well as we talk about the moment. Romans 5, 6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. At just the right moment, at just the right time, Christ came and did what? He died for us sinners. Emphasis on us. Christ came not for you or another particular group of people. Christ came for us. We were the ones that he came for, you and for me. And he came at just the right moment. If you begin to read on in verses 6 through 8, found how God demonstrates his love. The character of God is demonstrated by the outpouring of his love that gives every believer hope. God demonstrated his love for you and for me while we were sinners, while we were far away from him. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. This demonstration of his love was right at the moment that he designed. It was at just the right time, at just the right moment. Listen to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt. And if you're one of those that you circle words or underline words or highlight words, adopt is a good word for you to underline. Adopt us as his very own children. But when the right time came, when the right moment came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to do what? To buy our freedom and to adopt us. The word translated from Greek, adopt, means to receive. That's what it means. He received us to take by choice. Now, we have adoptive parents, and we have people here at Gateway who've been adopted. Adopted means it was by choice that someone brought you into a relationship. They received you as one's own child. Think about that. When we read this, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to law so that he could receive us as his own child into this relationship that only God could grant at just the right time. And he did that when we were utterly helpless. We're utterly helpless. Now, anyone been dead dog tired before? Right? It's like you're so tired after something, maybe a day of work or something, like you feel like you just can't lift another finger, right? Anyone been there? Utterly helpless. Utterly helpless. As dead dog tired as we might get, doesn't even come close to describing what this means when we were absolutely, utterly helpless or without any strength or feeble or in that weakened state. At just the right time, he came for us sinners. That moment came in our life. He came for us. It's interesting, the preposition there, for, means on the behalf of. In some occasions, it means in the place of, and that's what it means right here. He came in the place of us, for us, our sins. He died for you and me. Think about the moment for just a moment. Here's what I want to affirm again and again today. Maybe for some of us, it will bring us back to who he is. He came at the right moment. And by the way, he's coming again at the right moment. He came at the right moment, he's coming at the right moment, and he still does that today. He's faithful, and he comes at the right moment into your life and into my life today. What moment are you waiting for? What moment are you trusting him for? If you're one of those that feel like God's passed you by, like he missed the moment in your life, you can be sure that's not true. He came at the right moment, he's going to come at the right moment, and he still comes at the right moment today. It's a God moment. Someone wrote a song, feels like they based it on Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Like they took Romans 5, verse 6, and they sat down and they wrote this song. And I'm not going to sing it for you because that would be a very bad moment in your life, I guarantee it. But I'm going to read it to you and just listen to the words. It's at the time of God's own choosing, he came. See, it's at the right moment. When the fight we're losing, he came. We're utterly helpless. Long before we knew him, we were lost in sin. At the right time and at the best time, he came. When the night was cold and dreary, he came to his children, worn and weary. He came to bring us out of darkness, to make us his again, or to adopt us. At the right time, at the best time, he came. To the great and to the lowly, he came. To the wicked, to the holy, he came, that we might know the Father, that heaven we might gain. He'd adopt us into his family. At the right time, at the best time, he came. At the right time, at the best time, he came. The right moment. The right time, he came. What moment are you looking for? Because what he did and what he's going to do, he does again between his first coming and between his second coming. What moment are you looking for today? For some of us, that moment is maybe a miracle, like you need a miracle. And you think in that moment passed by. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Kind of interesting little side thought here. Everyone wants to see a miracle. No one wants to be in a position to need one, right? Think about it. But maybe that's the moment for you, like, you need a miracle to happen. You're thinking, like, God just passed you by. No, he didn't. He came at the right moment. He's coming at the right moment. And he shows up at the right moment in your life and in my life still today. You see, here's what we need to remember. God is unrestricted by time. We're the ones that force him into time. But God is unrestricted by time, and he acts within time, and he's always on time. He is always on time. He hasn't passed you by. Today we're celebrating the first Sunday of Advent, and over here, the Advent wreath, that first candle is lit. It's called the prophecy candle. And it really reaffirms again to us today that in light of all of the odds, he came. The Christ's coming was revealed by God through the prophets hundreds of years before he was born. And we know Advent means, talks about his coming, his first coming. It's Latin for coming or arrival of Jesus. Includes these four Sundays, and it'll run us right up to Christmas Eve. But listen, hundreds of years before, almost sounds like an impossibility that that could be predicted. You start thinking about coming at the right moment. Is it guesswork? No. Is it based on man's fantasies? Uh-uh, not at all. It's based on who Jesus is, and it's based on who God is. He came at the right moment, and he still does today. He came, and he's coming, and in between his first coming and his second coming, he still comes. And we can depend upon that as a Jesus follower. I want to share with you some of the prophecies of his coming and then his fulfillment. Just a few of them, not all of them, just a few. It was prophesied that he'd be the heir to the throne of David. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. That's the prophecy. We read about the fulfillment in Matthew chapter 1. Read it when you get home. The first chapter, the genealogy, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it concludes this way. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and Abraham. So it was prophesied. And then it was answered. His place of birth was prophesied. Read about in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. Remember being in Bethlehem just a month ago, seeing the place where Jesus was born. It was prophesied. And then we read about the fulfillment in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." How many wise men are there? Oh, you're very smart. We don't know, right? Okay, so anyway. But here's his place of birth prophesied and then fulfilled. Born of a virgin. Prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. All right, then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. There's a prophecy. Read about the fulfillment in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. So it was prophesied, and now he's born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. The prophecy and then the fulfillment. Now, there are a lot more prophecies that we could read. We'd be here all morning. And someone might read that and go, yeah, it's like a coincidence. Uh-huh. I mean, like, it may be a coincidence that you just kind of run into your friend at the grocery store or filling up your car with gas or at work, or that might be a coincidence, but not this. Not this. There's this law of simple probability and compound probability. Look, it's out of my league, But I read about it, and I want to share it with you, and I've shared it before. Some of you, like, you got these math minds, you understand all this. Some of us have to learn about it and read about it. But here's the law of simple probability. A prediction with one detail or feature has one chance in two of fulfillment. That's pretty easy, isn't it? So what that means, like, if I go, it's going to snow on Christmas Day. Some of us are going, we just really hope not, and some of us are hoping it does, but, you know, that prediction has, you know, just one of two, right? It's going to snow or it's not going to snow. It's pretty simple. But every time you add a detail, you know, the likelihood of that prophecy or prediction coming true are, you know, is much, much greater. So you could add, you know, it's going to rain first, and then it's going to snow, and then the wind's going to blow, but before all that happens, the sun's going to come on, and you add all that together, the probability of fulfillment is less and less. Now, think about all that. There are 333 details concerning the coming of Christ and the person and career of Jesus. The fraction of probability in this case would be expressed 1/2 multiplied by itself 333 times. You want to know what that looks like? And here it is right here. That's what it looks like. You know, now just think about Jesus coming at just the right moment against what some would consider like impossible odds. And that's where some of us are. It's like impossible, the situation I'm in right now. But Jesus came, and he's coming again. Just think about that for a moment. And he comes at the right moment in between his first coming and his second coming. How does that look in your life and in my life? You know how it looks? It looks like a friend showing up and saying exactly what you need to hear. And maybe you've even responded that way. That's exactly what I need to hear. You know, for some of us, it's a phone call. Jesus shows up to a phone call. He even shows up to an email or a text. He shows up in a variety of ways, but he comes at the right moment, or it's somebody's story of their faith journey, or some teaching you've listened, or maybe even a stranger. He comes at exactly the right moment. And we're going to celebrate that right now as we gather around the communion table. When we gather around his table, we share in the elements, the bread and the cup. What we're celebrating is his coming and his sacrifice for you and me. And all that came, Romans says, Paul says, at just the right moment. God demonstrated his love for us. Just listen to it. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 again. And now reading through verse number 8 or number 10. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right moment. At the right time. And he died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. You see, what we celebrate today is that Jesus has really come. And he really loved us that much. He came, he's coming again, and he still comes in our moment today. Right now, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. No, we'll stay seated. I'm sorry. Let's just stay seated. The host team is going to come and serve us, but Chad's going to lead us. And here's what I'd like for us to do. Lift that moment, number one, in thanksgiving to him. God, you came. So I'm thanking you for that. You came at the right time. And then whatever moment of need that you might be in, we're going to be lifting that to him as well, trusting that he's going to provide all that we need. Let's sing together, shall we?
And oh, come, oh, ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come. Come and behold him, born the
In just a moment, we'll receive the elements. We're celebrating that He came. And in a moment, when we place our trust and our faith in Him, He came in and He made us brand new people. You couldn't earn your way in. And if you're trying to do that, you just like need to stop doing that. Because you can't earn your way in. Coming into faith, coming into relationship with Him is through faith. And just said, Jesus, I trust You and I give my life to You. That's it. And in that moment, He comes into your life and makes you a brand new person. Loretta handed me this just a few minutes ago. Let us begin anew like the birth of my son. The people who understood cried, freedom, freedom. And that's what this is all about. You are my people, my beloved. Come to me and I will set you free. That's what we celebrate today. Freedom. That happens in a moment. Let's take the bread, shall we, together? And then the cup. And I'm going to lead us in prayer. And I'm just going to lead us in prayer of thanksgiving, first of all, for what happened when we knelt either at an altar, or maybe it was in our home, in our bedroom, or in a car on the way to work, or wherever it was, what happened in that moment. When we placed our trust and we placed our faith in Him, He came. And we're going to celebrate the right moment. And then I'm going to invite you to lift your needs to Him. Whatever it is, some of you are waiting for that moment and is trusting in Him that He will come at the right moment. So we're going to lift that to Him and then place our trust in Him. Let's stand together, shall we? Father, we give You thanks today. At the right moment, You came into our life. You came into this world. And there was a moment when we placed our faith in You and we became free, freedom was ours. And for some of us, it was at an altar. For some of us, it was in a car. For some of us, it was on the way to work. It was in our home. But in that moment, you came in and made us brand new people. And we celebrate that today as we gather around your table. We celebrate that your body was broken, that we might be made whole in every way, spiritually and physically and emotionally and financially, in every way, God, you provide for us. We celebrate you today. God, we also lift the need that we have and trust you, Lord, for the moment when you meet that need. Whatever it is, God, you're a sovereign God. We celebrate who you are. And so we lift that to you and we lift our trust to you and we give you thanks. And we say it again, it's Jesus, it's only you. It's Jesus only. And we say thank you and we celebrate you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope and our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. Who can make the blind to see? Who holds the key that set us free? He paid it all to bring us peace. He is Jesus, only Jesus. He is holy, King Almighty, Lord, saints and angels all adore.
Jesus, only Jesus. Look, he came at just the right time. He's coming at just the right time. And he meets each and every one of us in our moment at just the right time. That's the confidence that we go in today. Amen? Now, next week we're talking about the miracle of the method. He uses all of us, regardless. It has nothing to do with where we are economically or the houses or the cars or anything. He uses every one of us to spread this wonderful story across the land. That's next week. So hope to see you on Saturday as well. If we've not yet met, I'll hang out in the lobby, so let's be sure and do that. If you need special prayer, please. Oh, thank you. The host team is like, we believe in signs and wonders, right? They make signs, and I kind of wonder what they're trying to say back there. So anyway, on every communion Sunday, we receive an offering that goes to 100% to the community. And last month's offering and this one goes to feed our community, to provide Thanksgiving baskets and Christmas baskets. So 54 baskets were given out over Thanksgiving, 54 more for Christmas. It cost all of us about $4,000 to do that. And you know, last year I mentioned that we need like $4,000 to provide all that food for needy people. You know how much came in? It was like $4,040. So you really came through on that, and that's what we need again this year. So everything you give goes to the community. God bless you. See you next Saturday first, then Sunday. See ya.